Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on a bitterly cold Monday morning, February the 5th. It's been a very long time since it's been this cold. Lots of school districts are closed this morning, so kids won't have to bear the dangerously cold wind chills. If you aren't so lucky and have to head to work today, bundle up and give the car a chance to warm up a bit, and good luck. If you have a little time, throw another log on the fire and gather around the radio and let's relive last night's Super Bowl. No, not the game where the Colts defeated the Bears, but the Super Bowl ads that ran during the game. Did you have a favorite? What ad scored a touchdown as far as you're concerned? Or maybe one that you didn't like at all, a fumble? What is your review of the crop, the best and the worst? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or you can send your vote or your question to talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Here's a favorite according to an AOL poll. It was an ad for Blockbuster.
Ray, I don't know. Are you sure clicking this thing will get us online?
Well, try dragging it. Faster.
You're just a mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price.
Here's the problem. We forgot to plug it in.
Oh, don't even think about it.
Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
That was an ad that featured a rabbit squeezing a real mouse to try to order videos online. Again, that was voted the favorite among AOL voters. What about you? What was your favorite ad from the Super Bowl last night? That one wasn't my favorite. My favorite, as I mentioned a little earlier, was the Bud Light commercial featuring the little white dog who was getting grief everywhere he turned, where he was shooed away from the butcher shop window and chased by a mean dog, and then even had a car drive through a puddle and splash him with a lot of muddy water. But then he noticed that he had spots, and he noticed the Dalmatian that was riding through a parade and being adored everywhere. So he got to join the parade. I'll play that one a little bit later. I understand that that was a favorite, especially among women. What about you? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We have with us an expert on this, a professor of marketing from the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. His research appears in the New York Times, Advertising Age, and other major media around the nation. Professor Chuck Tomovich joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I'm sorry, it's Tomkovic, right?
Yes.
So what did you think of the ads? What was your favorite ad?
Oh, I like the one of the auctioneer. It was a Bud Light ad, and the couple are getting ready to get married, but somebody wants to get to the Bud Light, so they talk the person who's doing the ceremony into being like an auctioneer, and they quickly get through the vows and head off to the Bud Light.
Yeah, so they can hurry up and get to the reception.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. That was cute. Why did you think that was a good ad or an effective ad?
Humor. Weddings usually attract our attention. Beverages, the day of the game, you're kind of, you know, you're going to see a lot of Bud Light. So those ingredients, and I just kind of like the way auctioneers talk.
Yeah. So Bud Light maybe had the best crop, or can't you say for last night?
Anheuser-Busch throws $25 million into the game just for airtime, and then probably about half that much again to produce the ad. So they're way ahead of the curve in terms of the number of horses they have in the field, so to speak. So they usually come out on top.
Horses, literally, right?
Yeah, literally, yeah. Yeah.
What about that ad that I liked? That was appealing to women, wasn't it? The so-called Dalmatian ad.
Yeah, and they've had a series of those over the years, the kind of the underdog, literally.
Yeah.
You know, and the big Clydesdales and Nobody Loves Me, and somehow or another, you break through, and it's that rags-to-riches story that's so, and throw a little bit of humor in there. It's always heartwarming.
Yeah, according to that AOL poll that we saw this morning, that commercial was number two on the list. It was the Blockbuster Mouse, then the Bud Dalmatian ad. What was a real mistake as far as you're concerned? Was there a real fumble?
A couple of the pharmaceutical ones. There was one where a heart is some guy is dressed up in a heart costume.
Oh yeah, that was odd.
Yeah, and it was a 60-second commercial, and he's being chased by heart disease. And the listeners, you know, imagine what we're consuming during the game, and then think about reminding of us our own mortality, and somehow that doesn't fit. And then 60 seconds seems like a, you know, about 10 minutes of that. That's probably too long in the wrong venue to run that kind of an ad.
We're going to check our very cold weather forecast, and then we want your favorites and maybe least favorites among the Super Bowl ads that aired yesterday, last night during the Super Bowl. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon between 4 and 6 for Ad Issues with Ben Marins. And after 5, he will continue the Great Decisions series. Ben will talk with a representative of UNICEF about the task of protecting children of nations in conflict. That's Ad Issue with Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon, the Great Decisions series. We're talking about Super Bowl ads during this hour, the Super Bowl commercials that were a big hit and maybe some that were flops. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Chuck Tomkovic. He is a professor of marketing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. He's been collecting Super Bowl ads since 1992. One of the most popular Super Bowl ads of all time, Herding Cats, was produced by a former student of his. And Professor Tomkovic, remind us of Herding Cats.
Yes, this was an ad by Fallon Advertising from EDS. And, you know, we've all seen the movies of the cowboys herding cattle. Well, they had cowboys herding cats, and 10,000 of them across the water, and they had these really tough cowboys with battle scars and talking about how hard it is to really herd those cats, and anybody that is a cat lover knows that you're just not going to do that. So, you know, you start with a funny premise, and it was a 60-second commercial, and it had all the kind of Hollywoodish type stuff to drop you into the cowboy type scene.
Yeah, when I think of, I don't know, classics from the Super Bowl, I think of this one.
Bud. Fives. Bud. Bud. Fives. Bud. Bud. Fives. Bud. Fives.
All right, you get the picture. They retired those frogs, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but boy, they had a nice long run with them,
Joy. They sure did. We have some callers. Connie and Portage is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
My favorite, I think, was the dog, too. And I hated the heart one, especially my husband sitting beside me who's had a bad heart, 5 bypasses.
Oh, no.
Yes, and he was not happy. He thought that there was a lot of violence in the ads. He said, our young people are so prone to violence now. And he thought, and then I started paying attention, and I agreed. I thought there was a lot of rough, violent. If you can remember any of them, see if you don't agree.
Yeah, can you remember one besides the heart ad that you thought was violent?
Well, that one, and then there were so many I can't remember, but he brought it to my attention. And it just seemed like they were slamming things and hitting, slapping people's faces is the one that we both didn't like at all. And we thought, well, that's just great. Now they'll bring that up to all the children will start that.
That's right. That was that the fist knock is out and it's now slapped somebody in the face.
And I'll bet they'll start doing that.
What do you think, Professor Tomkovic?
Yeah, I think that was a Bud Light ad, and it got a little out of hand. Bud Light's trying to score with the 21 to 35-year-old crowd, and somehow that physical humor scores with them. But it seemed a little inappropriate. And then they had the car crash one with the Doritos. That did do well with the audience, but, you know, again, that's kind of a violent scene to have somebody crashing into something else while they're watching somebody with a bag of Doritos walk by.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And wasn't that one of the amateur ads? That it wasn't, you know, that it was like not an advertising executive that came up with that concept?
Yeah, that's one of the new twists of how the game is evolving and the ads are evolving. There were contests. The NFL had a contest, and Chevy had a contest that student from University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, won.
Yeah, let me just play a little clip from that. This was a, I think it was a Chevy commercial, right?
Yes.
And this might be one that you have to see to appreciate, but I think it was... women were driving this particular Chevy, and men were just beside themselves when they saw this vehicle and started ripping their shirts off and I think washing the car. Kind of a twist on what we usually who we usually see washing a car. Hold on.
Okay, we got company. Boom, Adele, he'll go away.
Here you go.
Tell me when it's over. That was the ad that was by University of Wisconsin Stevens Point freshman. Katie Crabb was the winner of this contest by the General Motors Corporation. So what's with this new trend, Professor Tomkovic?
The term is called activation, and you just don't buy ads on the game anymore and figure you've done the job. You want to drive people to the website. You want to get all of their involvement in the pre-game buzz is really where the battle is being staged, and once the game comes on, many people in the audience had been primed to see a Doritos ad, or had been primed to see, were curious what was the NFL winner and Chevy and several others. Two or three years ago, Levi's did that and Pepsi did that with sort of a pick your favorite, and now it's got more of an American Idol type theme to it, where you are the real folks of America are the participants, and I can see that only growing and getting stronger.
Let's take another call. Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. You have your Snuggies on today?
I sure do.
It's a cold one. And for all the Bear fans, I have a tear in my eye for everybody. Well, speaking in the two things about it, that ad they had for the Civil Unions thing, I thought that was a fantastic ad in the last campaign. And on that same subject, the Snickers had this ad where the two men accidentally kiss or something or other. I didn't actually see that part. But then they said, well, let's do something manly, and they start pulling out their chest hairs.
Yes, then, that was...
I don't know what that was all about. Who they were trying to, what age group, 18 to 24-year-olds or 13-year-olds, or why that would make somebody go and buy a Snickers, I think it was Snickers candy bar.
Yeah, it was a Snickers candy bar. Two mechanics working on a car. One of them pulls out a Snickers and pops it in his mouth, and the other guy looks at the Snickers and starts eating the other end of the Snickers, and it's sort of like Lady and the Tramp, and they meet in a kiss, and then they pull hair from their chest to prove that they're men. What were they thinking, Professor Tomkovic? Snickers with that ad. That was not a favorite among many.
Kind of risque. Mm-hmm. There's something funny about men with a lot of chest hair. if your audience can remember Austin Powers, the movie series with Michael Myers, he had an inordinate amount of chest hair. So throw that in there, and guys kind of getting caught in a position where they don't necessarily want to be, so they have to backtrack as quickly as they can. And that's funny to see guys, okay, what would be the opposite of kissing each other? Okay, doing something where there's pain involved and the masculinity of the hair being removed.
I see one fan here being quoted as saying, a guy, it made me not want to eat a Snickers. I probably won't be eating a Snickers for a while. So it didn't work on that particular person. Randy in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I think one of my favorite ads last night was for Sprint, the connectile dysfunction.
What was it again?
Connectile dysfunction.
I missed that one. Well, tell us about it.
Well, briefly, it showed a guy sitting off in an airport lounge with a sort of downcast look and with a laptop, and two really pretty women kind of looking at him, and he was looking kind of sheepish, and one of them held up a connecting card for high-speed internet, and all of a sudden he started to smile, and they said, and they were just doing silent, like, come over here. And he started to smile and look confident again because he had better connectile functioning. I thought it was really clever, really funny.
Yeah, and you said you had another favorite?
Yeah, and the other one was from several Super Bowls back. It might be six or seven by now. I don't remember anyway. But it was for Holiday Inn. And what Holiday Inn did is they were in the midst of a big remodeling program at the time. And the premise for the ad was it was a high school class reunion. And a really beautiful woman was walking down this elegant staircase. And there was two classmates, two guys, talking to each other saying, "Geez, I recognize her. I can't place her, though." And as she's walking down the stairs, it says, something like breasts, $4,000. Facelift, $2,000. And what it was is this woman had gone through a sex change. And at the end of the ad, Holiday Inn, it says, "Holiday Inn, we're not who you think we are." And The ad only ran one time, and it was just hysterical, I thought. And I really wanted to get a copy of it, and I never could for the life of me.
Yeah. Do you remember that one, Professor Tomkovic?
Oh, yeah. And the way that Randy was talking about it, the vividness of it. Mm-hmm. these ads sort of become part of your nostalgia. It was a highly controversial ad. Holiday Inn publicly said that they went a little askew with the humor because some people were, offended by it, but I think privately they liked the buzz and the fact that people noticed that there was something new about them.
Yeah, and the connectile dysfunction?
Yeah, that's like, the ED pills for Cialis and whatnot that came out with Mike Ditka and other celebrities a few years ago. So they're playing with us with the creative connectile dysfunction. And so, okay, we got a pun going, we got some humor going, and they take it from there. And it was an okay ad.
Yeah, I'm going to play another ad that I think there's a little bit of this, a little bit of risque themes to a lot of these ads. Here's one that was a fan favorite, too, from Doritos.
Paper or plastic?
Paper's fine.
I like these. Oh, nacho cheese. Old school. Fiery habanero? Yeah, those are hot. Oh. Salsa verde. Oh. Blazing buffalo and ranch? Giddy up! Gonna need a cleanup on register 6.
Well, the cleanup showed her then eating a Dorito, so they're a little double entendre there, I think, don't you, Professor Tomkovic?
I actually showed all five of these contest ads to my classes on Thursday at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire,
mm-hmm.
Because it was part of an online promotion, again, to get viewers to log in early and, vote for the ad you thought was funniest. And they actually had two from that rotation of five that actually aired during the game. The other one was the car crash where the guy's eating chips and the lady's walking by and she's eating chips and it's crunchy because he's crashed and it's cheesy because he's, they're staring at each other and they're using some play on words. But two of the five showed up in the Super Bowl, and nice for Doritos. A big score for them to get that much viewer involvement prior to the game.
We're talking with Chuck Tomkovic, professor of marketing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, talking about the commercials that aired during the Super Bowl last night, wondering which ones you liked and maybe which ones you didn't like. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We'll play more of them after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, February the 5th. Bundle up. It is very, very cold outside. We're talking about the Super Bowl commercials that aired during Super Bowl 41 last night. Wondering if you liked any of them? Were there any that rose to the top as far as you're concerned? Or maybe some who didn't do what they should have done, that you didn't like at all? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Chuck Tomkovic. He is a professor of marketing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. His research appears in the New York Times, Advertising Age, and other major media outlets around the country. He teaches marketing and promotion at UW-Eau Claire. He has been collecting Super Bowl ads since 1992. And in fact, one of the most popular Super Bowl ads of all time, Herding Cats, was produced by a former student of his. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Here's one of the ads from last night that Professor Tomkovic liked.
How long is this going to last? I'm ready to hit the Bud Light.
I already took care of it.
Say, well, all right, now we are gathered here today to join in marriage, Bob and Julie. Bob, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do I hear and I do, I do, do I hear and I do?
I do.
Julie, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do I hear and I do, I do, do I hear and I do?
I do.
Going once, going twice, and I'll pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride.
And away we go. Refreshingly smooth Bud Light. Always worth it.
So what I owe you?
100, 100 quarter, 100 and a half, 1/7 divided, 200, 200 quarter.
That was cute. So on to the reception. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Professor Tomkovic, was there a theme last night? Did advertisers, what were they going for?
They're trying to be safe and funny at the same time, Joy, but the real action nowadays is that the ads used to be sort of the end game or the ultimate destination, and now it's web activity. As an example, GoDaddy.com, in 2006, they increased their web traffic by 1.6 million hits in 2 days from their ads that they ran in the publicity. So many of the advertisers are trying to capture the names of the viewers through participation and visiting websites and things of that nature. So, you know, the game isn't over. Even when the ads are over, they're trying to get people to join clubs and participate. And so there'll be a lot more measurement stuff coming up this week in terms of which website's got the most activity.
So the gazillion dollars a second that they pay for the actual airing of the commercial, it's more than that.
Yeah, It used to be just either 90 million people, that's about the number that are watching at any one given time, and upwards of 130 to 140 million watch at least part of the game. That used to be what you were paying for, and today it's much greater than that.
Yeah, and what exactly was the? I mean, is it worth it for advertisers to have an ad during the Super Bowl for the most part?
Yeah, the jury's out on ad effectiveness. My research partner, Dr. Ramai Yelker, and a student team at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, we've been tracking this stuff for a number of years, and we carved out one segment, movies, and found that there was a strong correlation between promotion during the Super Bowl and how the movies did in the box office, and we refined that study a little bit more. So we found that, if you get the right kind of ad, the right kind of movie targeted at males and youth and something like a sequel where you can quickly figure out what's going on, that is definitely effective. And that would lead us into talking maybe a little bit about movies that were trailers for in this year's game.
What movies were?
The very uninspiring movies. There were Meet the Robinsons and Wild Hogs. These are two Disney movies. Meet the Robinsons is an animated story, and Wild Hogs had John Travolta. That's all I needed. When I saw John Travolta there, I thought maybe that might be a fun movie. And then Pride was a movie about a Philadelphia swim team, and then Hannibal Rising. I thought that was a little creepy. I think that's supposedly the prequel to Hannibal Lecter and The Silence of the Lambs. So those were the four in-game movies.
Let's take another caller. Tom in Watertown. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
There were two commercials that I thought had really lousy lead-ups but great punchlines. One was the one with Brett Favre at the end where all the big fans were really sad that the season was ending with the Super Bowl, and they said it's really hard to say goodbye. And the last, second they show Brett Favre flipping a football in the air. I thought that one was really...
Yeah, I missed that one entirely. I only made it through half of the game, so...
It was a great punchline, but I didn't like lead-up. The other one was a series of Bud Light ones where the couple's driving down the road and the guy has an axe, and he wants to pick the guy up because he's got Bud Light. He's hitchhiking, and the girl says, but he's got an axe. And they've got a series of commercials where the guy wants to make excuse to let the guy in. Well, he finally lets him in, and they're driving down the road, and they see a guy with a chainsaw and a Bud Light, and the guy with the axe in the back says, you can't pick him up. He's got a chainsaw. And I was curious, did the proposal ever take place? There was going to be a half-a-minute commercial with a guy proposing to his fiancée or girlfriend or something, and I didn't see that.
Oh, do you know about that, Professor Tom Kovic?
I didn't see any proposals, but the Bud Light one, very funny with the axe and the chainsaw. And the one with Brett Favre was part of an NFL competition where actually people submitted creative ideas. And that shows Favre's popularity around the United States. The league, NFL, really was happy to see Brett coming back for another year.
Here's another Bud Light commercial, or Anheuser-Busch commercial, I'm not sure if it was Bud Light, that was voted by the AOL poll as one of the top three favorites, number three. It featured a couple of gorillas, and I think they were plotting how they might steal some Bud Light from a delivery man. Here are the gorillas.
Okay, I've been working on this plan for 3 years, and today's the day.
Okay.
Every Friday, the same Bud Light delivery guy takes the same route past us.
Okay.
You're the only one who can make the leap.
Okay.
When I say go, you jump over, grab some Bud Light, and jump back.
Okay.
Okay, here he comes. Okay, one, two, three, and go.
What'd you say?
Refreshingly smooth Bud Light. Always worth it.
Seriously, what'd you say?
What did you say? Did you like that one, Professor Tom Kovic?
Yeah, that was a third quarter ad. It's a formula ad, Joy. The formula is animals and humor and product category and about 30 seconds. And from time to time, they'll add a little bit of sex appeal or some celebs. And when you have an animal as your main character, you don't really need those other two elements. So that's the recipe for middle of the pack or better on ad likability in a Super Bowl ad.
If it has an animal in it.
If it's got an animal in it.
That's funny. And here I am, the one who liked the dog one or the puppy one. Let's go to Jenny in Prairie du Sac. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think that no ad stood out to me as a really good one. But my favorite bad commercial, I guess, was the Flomax commercial.
Was that the heart one?
No, this was the guys who can't pee or something commercial.
Oh.
It's about a bunch of guys sitting around riding bikes and talking to young women, and these are all older men, who either can't control the stream of their urine or something like that, and I just thought that was kind of disturbing while eating my Cheetos and watching the game.
Yeah, what about that Flomax ad? I read that that was considered a fumble, but I didn't actually see it, Professor Tom Kovic, did you?
USA Today had it in their bottom five. We score the category. It used to be analgesics, which is, you know, like pain medicines and over-the-counter medications, and now the category's morphed into prescription drugs. And so, you know, kind of a risky category. Obviously, the company that represents Flomax is trying to get some audience traction with the brand name, but it doesn't fit well with the events of the day, that's for sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny. Ruth in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Now, the proposal you guys were just talking about, there was in the commentary part, there was a guy. They would said one of the football players, if the guy could meet anybody in the world, who would he want to meet? And he said Oprah Winfrey. And then they said, well, what would you say to her if you got to meet her? And he said, I'd ask her to marry me. So I looked at my friend and said, oh, I wonder if that was supposed to be the proposal that they were talking about.
What was it, Professor Tom Kovic?
I saw one with Oprah Winfrey and David Letterman. Oprah dressed in a Bears outfit, Letterman in a Colts outfit. That's the one from Oprah that I recall.
Yeah, that's right. I love the Colts. You love the Bears. You didn't know who. You saw Letterman talking, and then it pulled out, and it was Oprah, and they're snuggling together on the couch.
But, my favorite commercial was the one with the cat and the guinea pig, and they had a mouse, and they were, you know, clicking on him and trying to make and dragging him. And
yeah, that was the Blockbuster ad, which was number one in this AOL poll, too.
That's the one that made me laugh the hardest.
Yeah, but I don't know. Somebody said they wanted to marry Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah, no, it was in the commentary, like right at the beginning of the third quarter. And the guys were doing their nonsense yak-de-yak that they do, and they were talking, I think, about one of the football players, because they said a name I didn't know, but that's not, you know, because this is the first football game I've watched this season.
Right, and so it wasn't an ad, it was the commentators. Maybe they were reacting to that particular ad with Oprah in it, who knows. You don't know anything more about that, right, Professor Tom Kovic?
No, but Ruth makes the point that it was the first football game she watched, and that's that's part of the magic of the Super Bowl ads and the Super Bowl Sunday. It pulls in a much broader audience, and you know, it's kind of like people watch Academy Awards to see what the stars are wearing.
Right.
People do the same for the ads. So,
our guest is Chuck Tomkovic. He is a professor of marketing at UW-Eau Claire. We're talking about the Super Bowl ads and welcoming your favorites or least favorites. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, February the 5th, and coming up after 7, it's our State Capitol Report. Every Monday after 7 o'clock, we talk about what's making news under the State Capitol Dome, legislation that's being proposed, being debated, maybe signed into law. Our next State Capitol Report coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Right now, we're talking about those ads that we, or many of us, watched last night during the Super Bowl. Which of the Super Bowl commercials were the best as far as you're concerned, or maybe the worst? Or what questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Chuck Tomkovic. He is a professor of marketing at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And our next caller is Linda in La Crosse. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
What did you like or not like?
I really liked the ad where there were a whole bunch of different people singing a lot of different songs to their Chevrolets. It ended up with Jeff Gordon in a convertible. I liked all the songs. You go, oh, I know that song. I know that car.
Yeah, that was cute. Was that part of that contest, Professor Tomkovic?
It was one of the ads that was kicked around. The contest one was the one where the guys are disrobing, and this was an ad that was actually compatible with that. It had Mary J. Blige, a hip-hop star, and it had Dale Earnhardt Jr., a lot of different types of celebrities, and that's another ingredient for Super Bowl Sunday, that, you know, if you can get some activation with somebody that you like to see.
I'm not sure, Professor Tomkovic, if you can answer this or not. One listener called to say that he thinks this is the first Super Bowl in the past few years anyway where there was no mention of the military or the war, no support the troops kind of ads or promos. Do you want to talk about that? Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was Budweiser is usually the one. Anheuser-Busch is usually the one that promotes that. And they had an ad a year or two ago where the troops were walking in an airport, and it was a riveting ad. It was a top three or top five ad. And I think with what's going on in world events right now, I think the advertisers just thought that and public opinion kind of divided on what's going on in terms of our involvement. I think that it was just too risky of a bet. You can always support the troops, but this was more of, you know, drive people to the web, and it was pretty hard to connect that with the involvement of the military.
Yeah. Now, you know, I was trying to think, I can't play a clip of a Coca-Cola ad that I saw, but because it was just words on the screen and music. There was no audio saying it, but it was talking about Black History Month and great African Americans from history like Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and others. And then at the very end, it said, we want to, I don't know, give tribute to great African Americans during Black History Month, especially on this day. Making reference to the two coaches who were coaching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they had Coke had two ads of a similar theme, and it's an Atlanta-based company. I thought it was very well done. It's not meant to be humorous. It was taking a serious subject, and I thought they did it very tastefully. And Coke basically re-entered the cola battles, and Pepsi promoted Sierra Mist that didn't seem to make a lot of sense. They ran three ads, so I thought Coke won the day with those very tasteful honoring of our heroes of the past.
the Sierra Mist. So those were the Pepsi commercials, and there was that one, just sort of that doofus guy in all of them. And one time he was being fired from a job because he had a beard comb over.
That's always scores well with ladies.
Yeah.
Any kind of hair comb over is an automatic.
Yeah,
laugh
I have to admit, that was the first time I saw a beard comb over. Actually, speaking of Coke and Pepsi wars, this was another classic that we found that was on sort of the all-time best list. See if you can remember this one.
Mr. Grinch, Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay.
A Coke
thanks.
And a smile.
Yeah, the Mean Joe Green commercial, Professor Tomkovic.
It's from time to time, Joy, there's like the greatest Super Bowl commercials of all time. One of the networks will run it, and Mean Joe is always in the top five. It's long. It's got a kid, the Pittsburgh Steelers, tough defensive players, and Mean Joe taking the time to give his jersey to a kid and guzzling the Coke. It was... My eyes tear up every time I see that.
Yeah. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Our toll-free number for you to tell us what ads during the Super Bowl last night scored a touchdown as far as you're concerned and which ones were fumbles. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, along with the trademark Clydesdales, talking animals and high-end computer graphics. There was a new entry this year in the annual showdown of advertisers in the Super Bowl. Amateurs. Katie Crabb, a freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, was the winner of a separate contest by General Motors Corporation. The 19-year-old from North Prairie had an idea for an ad that was made into reality by Chevrolet's marketing division. The ad used oddball humor, as is the tradition in Super Bowl ads. It showed a number of men stripping off their shirts and some other articles of clothing at the sight of a new Chevy HHR rolling down the street. So is that a tradition of Super Bowl ads, Professor Tomkovic, to use oddball humor?
Oddball humor and sex appeal, and now it's with as many women viewers growing. It's Diet Pepsi ran an ad a couple of years ago where, you know, again, there's an attractive guy and the ladies are all snapping their necks to look at him. So, anything off the wall that you can quickly identify the brand and something that relates to the events of the day is a good risk.
So overall, if you would just say the winners of last night's ads, the companies that really scored big with their ads?
I would say Anheuser-Busch, Snickers, Doritos, and one we haven't talked about, and it'd be interesting what the viewers think of this and the listeners, is Colorfast by Revlon, a 60-second ad that had Sheryl Crow in it. Very long ad, but they were targeting women, and it'd be interesting to hear what people's thoughts were on that, a women's hair color product advertisement.
Interesting. No, I missed that. So that is a different target market of the advertisers, isn't it?
Great, yes. Great separation. They ran it, they had some promotion on it. I happen to be a Sheryl Crow fan, and so when I saw her name, flash across the screen when I was previewing the ads, it looked like something intriguing, and they had her hair stylist traveling with her, and anyway, I thought it was a nice ad. I'd be interested to see if that helps them with their sales.
Yeah, interesting. Here's one that I almost forgot. I'm glad Kurt and Westby called. Hi, Kurt, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Enjoying the show. I like the robot that dropped the fastener putting together on the assembly line.
Oh yeah, and then he had to go. He had to go find another job, or at least he was dreaming he had to go find another.
Well, yeah, it was all a dream. But you're watching it, and he's out trying to get work at other places. Ends up jumping off the bridge, and then wakes up. And...
yeah, he was like, and the jobs were pretty funny. Like he was the drive-through, holding on to the drive-through speaker, and things like that.
And I also enjoyed. I guess in general, I enjoyed all the Coke ads, but I like the one inside the Coke machine.
Remind me of that one.
A guy drops a coin into a Coke machine, and then it goes through running down a little chute, and it was kind of an animation type thing of what happens to get the Coke out of the dispenser.
Mm-hmm. Professor Tomkovic, you want to comment on those two?
Great fantasy in both of them. The robot one was a General Motors ad. One of the problems with the ad is you don't recognize, you know, it doesn't scream, you know, let's go out and buy a General Motors car. So from that standpoint, probably not a good ad. But the Coke one, take us into the world of what happens behind the scenes, throw some animation in there. And animation attracts our attention because we don't really know what's going to happen. So a nice involvement technique by the advertiser.
Yeah, the you gave us the winners. Then very quickly, the losers, you think, from last night?
The pharmaceutical one on the mm-hmm. heart disease for King Pharmaceutical, Sales Genie, trying to sell some software to help salespeople, a noble cause, but, you know, Super Bowl Sunday is supposed to be a relaxing day, not let's get get more productive with some software, and
yeah.
The Flomax one on the men in the kayak and a pharmaceutical drug, probably not a good ad.
Well, Professor Tomkovic, thanks very much. It was very interesting. Thanks for being with us.
Joy, a real pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck Tomkovic, Professor of Marketing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, talking with us about the Super Bowl ads. And I'm going to leave you with a little bit of sound from my favorite ad. It was the Budweiser ad featuring the dog who ended up in the parade. Thanks to Karen Prager, to Cheryl Gasser, and to Steve Williams for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.